This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1437. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded December 3rd, Solomon Islands back on shortwave. This will be a long year. The latest on Radio Verdad and Brazil's time signals. Dire situation at ORF Austria. Tirana, Albania begins webcasting. Ethiopian and Sudanese clandestines. English from Tibet and the propagation outlook. Brian Clark in New Zealand tells us he's heard from Adrian Sainsbury, technical manager at Radio New Zealand International, about Vanuatu. You've reported hearing VBTC on 7260. It's being run by an amateur radio enthusiast. That transmitter is only 400 watts. RNZ have been contracted to install two 10-kilowatt HF transmitters, but there have been delivery delays. It is hoped to be on the air in January or February. I believe this has been reported around 0700 UT, among other times. So if you hear Vanuatu, it's still only 400 watts. Bigger news this week is that Solomon Islands has returned to shortwave. Their previous frequency 5020 variable has been missing for some time. But Craig Seeger in New South Wales of the Australian Radio DX Club says he heard their 31-meter band frequency on the air November 29th. It's nominally 9545, but actually varying quite a bit below that. He was hearing it on 9541.55. At 0600, relaying BBC's World Today, an ID at 0630 as the National Service of the Solomon Islands Broadcasting Corporation, a string of ads in English, reggae-flavored songs and pigeon announcements, and at 0700, local news. Again, relaying the BBC at 1200, and more local news in the local morning at 2000, he says, quite a strong signal. Then John Wright in Sydney was also hearing it the next day, November 30th, at 0300. He says it's got the drifts between 9540 and 9542.1, then settling down to 9541.5. In Oklahoma, I had no luck. Havana blocks the frequency from splattering 9550 until it goes off around 0700. Also, DRM from Deutsche Welle and BBC is scheduled on 9540 through 9550, starting at 1000 UT, although that may be only on weekdays, says Wolfgang Büschel. In Washington State, however, Guy Atkins was able to hear it December 1st from 0645 to 0710 on 9541.53. Pop music and island tunes, ID at 0700 when there was news. He says it was a very weak signal about an hour before sunset in Haniara, occasionally dropping back into the noise, hoping it would improve later in the night. And also reported by a number of listeners in Europe, especially in the ADX group. And we also have a report direct from Jari Savolainen in Finland, hearing Solomon Islands, November 30th at 10:56, with talks and music, English news at 1100, rather weak in splatter from something on 9540. In the Radio Escutas group in Brazil, Samuel Cassio Martins also reports Solomon's December 1st at 0840 to 0930 in Pidgin English on 9541.52. I guess we're lucky they're back on the air. They've had a lot of problems there. In Australian DX News, Craig Seeger passes on a story from the Solomon Star that three local furniture shops have donated 12 new chairs to the SIBC. The donation was made in response to a request from the national broadcaster to be placed in the recording studios and program office, which were without chairs. And Craig adds that SIBC's electricity had been cut off in early August due to unpaid accounts. Radio Central in Papua New Guinea is not often reported. I guess they are irregular, but here's one from Dave Valco, Pennsylvania, in Cumbre DX, 3290, November 28th at 11:52 with a radio drama and then some island pop music. ID, or the name of a program, on Sunday as Voice of Hope, but they used a different slogan than has been reported before, the Voice of Papua New Guinea National Radio. They had an interval signal of a bird call or a native wind instrument and English news on the hour at 1200. If you hear a station in French, you're not likely to assume it's Radio New Zealand International, unless it's on 17675. I ran across this UT Monday, December 1st, just ending a French segment at until 21:51 UT back into English. This is not on the RNZI website program grid, although they do have a bit of French scheduled at other times. Not only is 2008 a leap year, but also a leap second year, it turns out, so this will be a very long year. Since November 27th, I've been hearing WWV and WWVH announce that a leap second will be inserted at the very last UT second of the year, December 31st, at what they refer to as 23:59:60 UT. The announcements come at 3 minutes past the hour on WWVH and at 4 minutes past on WWV. So there go our New Year's Eve plans. Radio Marti leaps to unexpected frequencies. One morning I heard them on 15530 instead of 15330. And Wendell Craighead in Kansas reports to Cumbre, hearing Radio Marti November 24th at 2202 for 3 minutes on 6300. And they were missing, apparently, from where they were supposed to be, 6030. 6300, of course, is supposed to be occupied by the Polisario station for Western Sahara. Evidently, someone at Greenville is lysdexic. KimAndrewElliott.com brings us news from CQ Politics that Ted Kaufman, advisor to Vice President-elect Joseph Biden, has been selected by Delaware's governor to take Biden's Senate seat. You may have heard that. But did you know that Kaufman has also been a charter member of the Broadcasting Board of Governors? BBG says he's been a dedicated guardian of the journalistic independence of our broadcasters and helped the BBG become an independent federal agency in 1999. Kim says the BBG is now down to four members plus the ex officio Secretary of State, so no doubt more will be appointed in due course. However, the free media online blog by Ted Lippian says Ted Kaufman was the primary force behind the shutting down of many VOA radio broadcasts, including programs to Russia, a secretive action taken last summer, only days before the Russian army attacked Georgia. Upon learning of Ted Kaufman's appointment to the U.S. Senate, a high-ranking union leader told freemediaonline.org that Ted Kaufman was no friend to the employees of the Voice of America. Well, I say we can only hope he'll do less damage in the Senate than on the Broadcasting Board of Governors. Leapfrogging Spurs from WWRB, reported by Brian Alexander in Pennsylvania. Now that they're on both 3185 and 3145 for a few hours in the evenings. Yes, he's hearing them on both 3105 and 3225 as well, between 0345 and 0425. Although they were relatively weak compared to the fundamentals. Furthermore, he hears Spurs from WWCR's 3215 transmitter, such as around 0600 November 26th, on 3230.58 and 3199.42 at equal separations. They too were at threshold level and may well be 80 dB down as required. But if you're hearing U.S. stations, weak signals on additional 90-meter band frequencies, check to see if they match one station or the other. For some time now, the IBOC, or HD noise, from WGN 720 Chicago has been missing. They're running it for a while, I think even at night. But Artie Bigley in Ohio wrote to the director of engineering, James J. Carollo, asking about the situation, and he replied, "We did not drop it. We just have it turned off for now while we are evaluating some processing changes that we made. I do not know how long we will have it off, but it will probably be turned back on sometime in the future. So now's the time to hear what you can between 705 and 735 kilohertz. Dave Haskell in Indiana says, "I wonder how many complaints they have received about IBOC being off." From Alberta, Bruce Acheson says, at his location, the IBOC station causing the most interference is KSL 1160 Salt Lake City, doing a number on my reception of stations on 1150 and 1170. KSL is the strongest and most disruptive. Radio Verdad Guatemala has been missing for several weeks now from 4052.5 due to that lightning strike that damaged some of their equipment. So on November 29th, I wrote to their director, Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid, asking him, "How is the repair work going?" He says, "Thanks for your concern. A friend of mine changed the transistors, but they exploded as soon as I installed the module. So he's trying to get someone else to repair them. Unfortunately, the technician contracted to do it took his time in picking up the replacement parts and is also taking his time in coming in to actually do the work. He's praying that God will move the technician to actually do the work. Meanwhile, Radio Verdad does webcast via their site, www.radioverdad.org. Last week, we reported that time signals had unexpectedly appeared from Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, on 9999 kilohertz. More about that has emerged from Brazilian sources. Dennis Zokby, besides his DX activities, is in an astronomy club which has contacts with the National Observatory, which is running the time signals. He found out that they're only running 300 watts and were quite surprised to be getting reports from all over Brazil and a few from abroad. The frequency is supposed to be on exactly 10,000 kilohertz, but there's some problem. Although those who have measured it exactly find it on 9999.00, which would seem to be intentional rather than accidental. On the other hand, Roland Zermely in PY4land found it varying between 9998.9 and 9999.5. And the signal also has a hum of 60, 120, and 180 hertz, which certainly should not be there. He also complains that it's blocking reception of WWV and wishes they could find some other frequency. One who measured it on exactly 9999 is Terry Kruger in Florida, November 30th at 2126 to 2130. He says reception was threshold at best with WWV on 10 megahertz, and he says this is apparently on upper sideband plus carrier. It would be better under those circumstances to be on lower sideband. And no, we still don't know if the station has a call sign, but if they do, they're not using it on the air. All this led me to wonder if there are any other time signal stations currently active on 10 megahertz, besides that WWV and WWVH. Passport does not list anything besides the two U.S. stations, but surely that's not correct. The IB online list also shows LOL in Buenos Aires, Argentina. However, it's not on constantly. The only time he has it is 14 to 15 UT, Monday through Friday. And then there's BPM in Xi'an, China, which is supposedly 24 hours on 10,000 kilohertz. And on a lower frequency, 9996, 24 hours is RWM in Moscow, Russia. Mark Schiefelbein in Missouri was hearing RWM at 1348 November 25th, and Hudolfi Grimm in Brazil was hearing BPM China around midnight UT November 23rd. In the Paraná DX Club, Rubens Ferraz Pedroso reports Rádio 9 de Julho, Brazil, on 9820 at 1824 UT, taking musical requests. And Rádio Inconfidência from Belo Horizonte on its second harmonic, 12020, about the same time, November 29th at 1832. Via shortwave, AM, FM, satellite, and internet, this is World of Radio, 1437. Check our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Your contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK 73702, USA. Every so often we get requests for people to send us information in the postal mail, but I must tell you that we do not issue anything on paper. Everything is via broadcast or internet. Here's another station with an inaccurate program schedule on its own website. Wolfgang Büschel has been checking out all the DX and media programs, including multimedia, from Polish Radio. According to their website, it's only scheduled once during their English shortwave broadcast, and that is moved to Wednesdays at approximately 1825 UT. But, in fact, it's also on the other English shortwave broadcast at 1300, and that is on Thursdays, as Wolfgang has confirmed my monitoring. It may start about 1323 UT on 7325 and 9450 via Germany. They also have quite a nice archive of these programs on demand at their website. And it's a rather good media program, too, lasting some 22 minutes each week. In PlayDX, Aker Peterson in Denmark reports that the Sitkunai Lithuania transmitter is on new 3960, carrying the target or clandestine service for neighboring Belarus, Radio Razia. Heard from as early as 1440 until sign-off at 1730. Says there are many IDs and Radio Razia jingles, Belarusian pop songs, interviews, and so forth. He even heard a bit of Arabic and Farsi. Dire situation at ORF is the headline of this item from Kai Ludwig in Germany. The demise of Austria's foreign language programming for shortwave has already been discussed, but it's just a minor aspect in a much larger affair. ORF is facing bankruptcy in 2012, at least according to its management, so 1,000 job positions will be axed by then. This cannot be achieved without firing people, something that was taboo until now. ORF will leave its Königsberg main seat in favor of another location in Vienna. The symphony orchestra, facility management, IT, and rights management will be outsourced. The shares in the transmitter operator ORS, 60%, will be reduced, according to a report in Der Standard. And Kai says, in such a situation, of course, nobody cares about shortwave. In an earlier interview, ORF head Alexander Vrabets said he wants to close it down together with medium wave 1476. So I'll not be surprised if the plug is pulled without any fanfare on New Year's Eve. Radio Tirana, Albania, celebrated its 70th anniversary on November 27th, and they had quite a gift for their anniversary. Christian Milling of Radio 700 in Germany went to Tirana and set up a stream of their broadcasts. This is mainly for German at 1900 UT. It seems Tirana has quite a fan base in the German-speaking world, but most of the other broadcasts are also being webcast, except for the English at 1530 when there's some kind of scheduling conflict, as public radio fans Kevin A. Kelly notes. I don't find an actual website where you can click on the link, at least not yet. So here is the link, which will bring up the audio, and it's still running during the considerable portions of the day when there is no programming, but just bring it up when you want to hear English or other programming is scheduled. It's radiotirana.funkhaus, funkhaus.info, :8000. Unfortunately, like shortwave, there are wide variations in the audio levels, sometimes too low and sometimes too loud and distorted, but they're easier to compensate for if you're listening to the webcast. That is, when they are too low, you can bring them up. The new transmitters at Tiganeshi of Radio Romania International are putting amazing signals even into central North America. On November 20th, I was listening to the English hour at 1800 UT intended for Europe. That's low noon here. They had some of their entertaining programming, a traveler's guide, song of the day, folk music, and during the last part of the hour, letterbox. That was on a Thursday on 9640. Besides having new 300 kilowatt continental transmitters, which we may safely assume are being run at full rated power, unlike most aging shortwave transmitters, their refurbished antennas must be very efficient and high gain. They are 8x4 curtains, but I wonder how much gain they have in the bore site, in this case at an azimuth of 307 degrees. Meanwhile, Radio Bulgaria still makes do with its old transmitters, which, as I mentioned last week, at least one of them was having severe problems with a very unstable carrier putting out warbles and interfering with the modulation. During much of the day on 7400 or 15700 kilohertz. This went on for about a week. Ivo Ivanov of Radio Bulgaria then notified us on November 26th that during the past 6 days we had a technical problem with one of the transmitters at Plovdiv or Padarsko, a 300 kilowatt unit. It was successfully resolved as of 1100 UT on November 26th. So Radio Bulgaria resumed broadcasting normally. Meanwhile, another Bulgarian frequency, 7200, between 16 and 17 UT, was having a similar problem, but it wasn't clear whether this was jamming coming from somewhere else. Tariq Zidane in Egypt was monitoring this. Sudan and Serbia are also trying to use that frequency, and who knows, the radio war in Ethiopia may also have been involved. At times, the noise on 7200 sounded like bubble jamming, but also there was an echo on the Radio Bulgaria programming. Possibly they were using two different transmitter sites unsynchronized, according to Kai Ludwig. In DSWCIDX Window, Acker Peterson in Denmark reports getting a reply from one of the many Ethiopian clandestines, Ginbot 7 Dimts, on 12120. He had heard them on November 11th and asked them what the name means and what their mission is and where the transmitter is. Well, they didn't answer all his questions, but they did say, "We are a political organization trying to bring about democratic change in Ethiopia. Ginbot 7, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, G-I-N-B-O-T, is a month in the Ethiopian calendar which in 2005 an accidental democratic election happened in which the ruling party was so sure in winning, but as it turned out, they were resoundingly defeated. In the end, the votes were rigged to stay in power and also suppressed by force any protest to what had happened. Ginbot is the equivalent of May in the Western calendar, so Ginbot 7 Dimps means the voice of May 15th in honor of the lost opportunity to bring about real change in Ethiopia." Radio Dabanga, the new service for Darfur, Sudan, is reported by Bjorn Frans in Sweden at 0430 UT November 21st on 13800 via Madagascar and also parallels 7315 via Germany, which was ahead of Madagascar by about 1 second. Denis Gouveia in Brazil also was hearing 13800. In North America, we're more likely to hear the lower frequency. And there's some details about that from Sudan Tribune via Craig Seeger in Australian DX News. It was officially inaugurated on December 1st. Radio Dabanga is a project of the Radio Darfur Network, a coalition of Sudanese journalists and international media development organizations, supported by international donors, humanitarian community organizations, and local NGOs, operated by Press Now in the Netherlands, which, as we know, is related to Radio Netherlands. The station is named for a type of large storage vessel called dabanga, sometimes written damanga or dabunga, which are used by Sudanese farmers to preserve food. Farmers tend to hide their valuables at the bottom of these containers, making them both precious and delicate. Thus, there is an Arabic adage, life is brittle as dabanga, roll it slowly. The radio station commented, the message of this proverb is that diplomacy is needed in life to solve problems. NBCDX Rich DeAngelo in Pennsylvania also reports he got a reply from them with additional info that dabanga is also a small village near Al-Fasher in North Darfur. It's also a well in the Wilayat area in South Darfur, 528 meters above sea level. In December of 07, over 1,000 people were displaced from this area due to insecurity and the lack of humanitarian assistance. The email address from which you got a quick reply was simply Radio Dabanga, that's D-A-B-A-N-G-A, at yahoo.com. Here's another transmitter putting out spurs, Wolfgang Büschel in Germany, reports on November 20th, IRIB in Zahedan, Iran, the Arabic service on 13800, was accompanied by two terrible spurious signals, peaking at approximately 13737.50 and 13862.60. This transmission is scheduled all the way from 0530 until 1430. Those were the peaks, but the actual spurs spread out quite a bit between 13734 and 739 and 13860 to 13865. Ron Howard in California has been monitoring Eastern Russian stations four times when they have local programming. Radio Rossiya Kamchatka on 6075 breaks away for local programming between 0810 and 0900, but he's hearing more local programming before 0200, probably starting at 0110. On 6085, Radio Rossiya via Krasnoyarsk is heard with local programming from 0210 until 0300. And GTRK Magadan, also at the same time with its local programming, on 7320. Ron Howard also reports hearing a weekly English program from Voice of Strait, Fuzhou, China. It's on Sundays at 1500 called Focus on China on 4940. And then there's Holy Tibet, the daily English program from Zhejiang PBS in Lhasa, at 1630 to 1700, although the audio quality is quite poor, as well as the accents of the announcers. But you can try to understand it. He says the reception quality varies from day to day among the different frequencies, such as 4905, 4920, and 6200. The propagation outlook from Boulder, issued December 2nd. ANK indices peaking at 15 and 4 December 5th. 10 and 3 on the 22nd, otherwise mostly 5 and 2. Solar flux dropping slightly from 70 December 9th to 68 and back up to 70 on December 29th. Glenn Hauser concluding, World of Radio 1437.